Well, it has become vividly clear, hasn't it, that in recent weeks that we, the divide in this country has not only deepened, it has broadened, and is now bloodstained as well. 5 people recently lost their lives in this violent mob attack on the federal capital. It's something that we should all grieve. It's something we should all cause us to pause and certainly to pray. My concern is that this divide is finding its way into the church, and Christians are being infected with this disease of politics and worldly means to the point where they can now justify verbal, emotional, and physical violence towards others who don't agree with their political views, and then still hold to the fact that they are Christians, that somehow a Christian can find it consistent to be a violent, cruel, verbally, physically violent individual. How did this happen? How did we get here? So I'm, of course, as a citizen, I'm concerned about the divide and the things that go on in the nation. But as a citizen of the kingdom of God, which is where, by the way, my primary loyalty lies, and so does yours if you are in Christ, my concern is for the image of the church, which, of course, is ultimately the image of Christ into the world, being so twisted and distorted by left-wing or right-wing politics that the church loses its message, it loses its mission, and in the final analysis, denies its Messiah, denies its Lord. I want to remind you, and I want to be clear about this, that there is a divide. There is a divide. But the divide is not between left and right politically. The divide is not about those who hate this country and those who are said to love this country. It is not between Democrat and Republican. The divide, my brothers and sisters, is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And I want to say this forcefully this morning. I want to be very clear about this, that both the Republican and the Democrats, both the political left and the political right, both the socially left and the social right, the philosophical left and the philosophical right, all of that belongs to this world's kingdom. And it's a fallen world. It's a fallen kingdom. And you cannot find peace and purpose, identity and hope in it. If you are in Christ, your primary loyalty, your primary citizenship is to the kingdom of God. And you are therefore charged by the Lord of the church, the King of that kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an ambassador for His kingdom, not an advocate and a rabid, even fanatical, hysterical supporter of any political leader. Because this happens on the left as well as the right. I have no part in either one of those. It makes no sense for a person in Christ whose primary citizenship is the kingdom of God, whose primary purpose for even being on the planet is to be an ambassador for Christ and His kingdom as a pilgrim and a stranger, a sojourner in this land, to do anything but represent the character of the Father and the Son through the Spirit and by the word into the world. I don't know how I can say that more forcefully. I'm pleading with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to remember who they are. Now, this is the problem. How did we get here? How did we get here? We got here because we have forgotten our own narrative. We have forgotten our own story. We forgot the paradigm out from which every Christian is to live, and that is the kingdom of God. I wonder at times if American Christians even take Christianity seriously anymore. I don't think Americans do. After the events of recent weeks, and particularly in the last two decades, the average American has seen Christianity as just a religious arm of the Republican Party. And in some cases, the religious arm of the Democratic Party. It matters little to me what side you're on. It's idolatry. It's a spiritual adultery either way. To be so caught up in political movements and so loyal to any political leader that you are willing to act out in ways of thought and action and word and deeds that are absolutely contrary to that which is of the kingdom of God. Your purpose as a Christian is to go out into the highways and the byways and call people into the kingdom. Your purpose as a, your mission as a Christian is to go out into the marketplace every day and represent the character of Christ and His agenda and His kingdom. It's a very real kingdom. The kingdom of God is not some airy-fairy thing that happens when we die. It's not just a heavenly kingdom. It is an earthly kingdom as well. When Jesus began his ministry, he inaugurated his kingdom on this planet. And that kingdom is active and alive and working today in the body of Christ. And to the degree that the body of Christ has advocated that role, they are acting out in spiritual adultery and allying themselves with political leaders and movements that they have no business doing. It is sad today that we don't have Christian leaders who speak out on these things as they should. But I hope to at least make some contribution here. Now, I want to remind you that when our Lord stood before Pilate, he didn't get into a political discussion, did he? He didn't argue with Pilate. Beginning in John 18:33, we read, "Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?' Pilate answered and said, 'I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?' And Jesus answered, in verse 36, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world,'" listen carefully now, "'then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.' Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" End quote. Jesus had just told him that he himself, Jesus had just told Pilate that he himself, Jesus, had come into the world to testify to the truth as a king. He's the king of truth, if you will. We find truth in the person, in the ministry, and in the teaching of Jesus Christ. We don't find truth on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. We don't find it on Twitter. We don't find it in a politician and a political leader. I don't care how much they are charming or parlay us or offer some kind of sense of belonging. We find truth in the teachings and the ministry and the person of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ does not exist to follow any political leader, left or right. So we've placed the divide wrongly. Every Christian has to repent of this. Not just those who have been active and participating in it. I have to repent, and I haven't been involved in it to it like to that degree. I have political views, but they mean absolutely nothing. They're insignificant compared to the kingdom of God. And the last thing that I should do is take the kingdom of God or my role as a Christian to legitimize my political views, to advance my political views, even to the point of violence. It's insanity, brothers and sisters. And I'm calling you to repentance today. If you are involved in this, I'm calling you to repentance. I pray God that he will bring a level of conviction upon his church of this idolatry. It's destructive. Obviously, it's destructive. Not only to the people it affects, but its ultimate goal is to diminish and destroy the witness of the church into the world. Nothing is more important than your responsibility to be a living presence of Christ into the world. By word and deed. To show forth the character of Christ. The body of Christ is the presence of God on the planet. We are the fleshed out presence of God in this planet. We are, if you will, the incarnate presence of Christ into this planet. And our job is to speak to Him. We have the ministry, listen now, we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled to God. That's our mission. That's our purpose. There's no greater joy. There's no greater delight. There's no greater power than seeing people reconciled to God, healed and made whole. But American Christianity is famous for its idolatries. If it's not money and greed, it's sexual scandals. And if it's sexual scandals, now it's a political idolatry. That's never reached its heights before. How did we get here? Let me ask that again. How did we get here? We got here because we placed the divide in the wrong place. We got here because an aberrant form of theology taught us that we shouldn't preach the kingdom of God, which was gross error, if not heresy. The kingdom of God was the primary message of Jesus and the apostles. The kingdom of God is the primary message out of which, and the paradigm out of which every believer lives. Your citizenship, Paul told the Philippians, is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now, when Jesus says, therefore, in the text I just read, that my kingdom is not of this world, he doesn't mean that it doesn't have its place or action in this world. He is saying that it doesn't originate from this world. It doesn't have its origination from this fallen planet. But it's from heaven. It's of God. His kingdom is not a kingdom that originated like the Roman Empire did. His kingdom did not originate through the same means that the United States came to be a nation, or any other nation. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't say that we were to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. He was not saying that the kingdom of God is only heavenly. He's saying the kingdom of God did not originate. My kingdom did not originate here on the planet out of the same way yours did, Pilate. But what Jesus was not doing was denying the fact that it has an active role in this world. And that people who belong to his kingdom, to Christ's kingdom, behave differently than those who do. And how is that? He said it right there, didn't he? If it were of this world, if it did originate of this world, then my servants would be fighting as though I would not be handed, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. Why are we fighting? Christians carrying assault weapons? Really? This deserves a serious rebuke. If you know anybody who's given themselves over to being some kind of a political junkie while professing to be a Christian to the point where they can justify physical and verbal violence, they need to be rebuked. And then they need to be loved and prayed for and taught again to realize that their loyalty is to the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of peace. So Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. We don't use the means of this world. We don't use the ways of this world. Rather, we function at a different set of values. We function out of a different means, the power of the Spirit through the Word. Based upon an ethic we find in the Sermon on the Mount. Not the fiery speeches of politicians. Let me remind you in Colossians 1:13, Paul tells us that, speaking of all that God the Father has done for believers, he says in verse 12, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What happened at the Capitol recently, it was just a darkness, a total darkness, utter demonic behavior. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, did you hear that? For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Is it hard for you to understand today as a Christian that violence, even the taking of lives, and foul mouth verbal abuse is not of the kingdom of God? That somehow, is it hard for you to remember that the domain of darkness traffics in that kind of behavior? And remember, you've been called, you've been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We haven't learned enough from European history. There was once a large battle between the Protestants and the Catholics, two armies facing each other. And the lead horse in the battle of the army of the Protestants was the famous Protestant theologian, Reformed theologian, John Owen. It's how easy it is to get caught up in all this. Ulrich Zwingli died on the battlefield. One of the chief reformers died on the battlefield. If you're willing, if you think that your Christianity allows you, who told you that your Christianity allows you to engage in verbal and physical violence and even the murder of others to advance a political agenda? Who told you that? Not to mention lies and the advancement of narratives that are totally unbiblical. Who told you that? You should ask that question. How did you get into that? Many people are, by the way. I spoke to a young man just recently who reached the point where he just fell into a dark pit because he realized he had made his political loyalties into a cult, into an idol. And it just dried him up spiritually. I don't want that for you. I want better for you. I want you to realize who you are in Jesus Christ. To repent of the ways of this world and reclaim the divide where it belongs. Reclaim the rightly divided kingdom. We are in this world, but we are not in this world to use the means or put forth the agenda of this fallen world and its kingdom. Remember Jesus in the wilderness. What was it that Satan tempted him with? It was to make him Lord over all the kingdoms of this world. What did Jesus do? Satan said, you can have all this if you just fall down and worship me. What did Jesus do? He was outraged. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only shall you worship. Listen, you get too vested into this world, into this fallen world, and its agenda, and its political agendas as a Christian, and you're in danger of falling down and worshiping Satan. It's a scary thing. Repent of this and return to being a peacemaker. So what does a kingdom Christian look like? If it doesn't look like somebody on TV waving flags and carrying AK-47s, what does a kingdom person look like? What does a member of the kingdom of God look like? Well, Matthew 5 tells us, doesn't it? Somebody who is poor in spirit. Somebody who recognizes their need for God daily, humbly. Somebody who mourns for any contrast between them and the character of Christ. Somebody who is gentle. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Somebody who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Someone who is merciful. Someone who's pure in heart. Their great desire is to see God. They are peacemakers. Children of God. Sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. They are the persecuted. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, not for the sake of their political views. for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are there people who are insulted and persecuted and have all kinds of evil falsely said against them. Falsely said against them because of Jesus, not because of their political views or their political leader. That's what a kingdom Christian looks like. Matthew 5. Romans 12 through 14 describes the life of a Christian community. Community that where people think not more highly of themselves than they ought. People who give liberally. People who love without hypocrisy. They abhor what is evil. And they cling to what is good. People who are devoted to one another in brotherly love, in preference to one another. They rejoice in hope. They persevere in tribulation. People who are devoted to prayer and contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. People who bless those who persecute them. They bless and do not curse. Kingdom people are people who rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Kingdom people are those who are of the same mind toward one another. They're not haughty. They associate with the lowly. Kingdom people are people who, as far as it depends on them, they're at peace with all men. They don't take revenge. They leave room for the wrath of God. Romans 12:19. Instead, if their enemy is hungry, they feed him. And if he's thirsty, they give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, it says. Kingdom people are people who are not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, I'm going to stop here. But I want to beg you to consider what I've said here. It's a destructive, if you're on the path where you're going to follow a political leader and a political movement, you're going to believe everything anyone says, whether it's on the left or the right, you've set aside your own ability for critical thought and discernment in order to blindly follow any political leader, any political movement, again, on the left or the right, then, my brother and sister, you're in gross error. You've abdicated your true calling as a Christian, and you're headed for pain. You're headed for destruction. Repent, therefore, and return to your primary loyalty, and that is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, to stand out as a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yes, there's a lot of injustice. Yes, there's a lot of crookedness. Yes, there's a lot of stealing and lying going on. But our response is not to be that which, to use the world's means of violence and verbal abuse. We don't use lies to counter lies. We speak truth. Jesus said, I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And where do we find that truth again? We find it in Him. We find it in Him and in Him alone. Oh, that we would return to understanding that there are only two realms, beloved. The kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of the Son. And if you are in Christ, you belong to His kingdom. And He calls you to look and act and think and speak like it, just as He did. May the Lord grant us wisdom and insight, mercy, May the Lord grant us repentance where repentance is due. May He forgive us. May the blood of Jesus cleanse us from anything that's not of Him. May we learn the lessons of European state church Christianity, the European state church that just became an arm for the king, the monarch, the local monarch, the religious arm of the state that just helped justify on a religious basis the exploitation and the oppression and the greed that was so common among the European monarchs. We have a sense of religious freedom in this country today. I don't know if we'll have it tomorrow, but we have it today. But let's use that freedom to do good while we have it. Let's use that freedom to advance His kingdom while we have it, or God may indeed take it away from us. Let's use it for His purposes and not to get legislation through, not to fight for a political cause or a political leader. There is one Lord and there is one King, and that is Jesus Christ. His kingdom is a very real kingdom. It has its own laws. It has its own values. It has its own agenda. It has its own king. And you, if you are in Christ, you are a citizen thereof. Please take to heart what I've said today. May the Lord grant us wisdom and mercy as you do. Amen.